गोपी जन बाला बिरे वरदानी गोपी जन बाला गिरे वरदानी Yasodanandana Vraja Janaranjana Yasodanandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jamuna Tira Panachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radhe 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 Jaya Gandharvika Giridhari Gandharvika Giridhari Shri Radhe Gandharvika Giridhari Gandharvika Giridhari Shri Radhe Jaya Gandharvika Giridhari Gandharvika Giridhari Shri Radhe Gandharvika Giridhari Gandharvika Giridhari Shri Radhe Daya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhuta Kataraya Ashtatara Satasri Srimade Si Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Nataraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki O Premanandi Glorious to the assembled devotees Glorious to the assembled devotees Glorious to the assembled devotees Glorious to Guru and Garanga. Can we put that on an elevated position because the sound just goes into the ground like that. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 2 entitled Divinity and Divine Service. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudeva Paraveda Vasudeva Paramaka Vasudeva Parayoga Vasudeva Pratya Vasudeva Paramgyanam Vasudeva Paramtapa Vasudeva Paro Dharmo Vasudeva Paragati Vasudeva Paraveda Vasudeva Paramaka Vasudeva Parayoga Vasudeva Parakriya Vasudeva Paramgyanam Vasudeva Paramtapa Vasudeva Paradharmo Vasudeva Paragati Vasudeva Paraveda
Vasudeva Paramaka.
Vasudeva Paramaka.
Vasudeva Parayoga.
Vasudeva Parayoga.
Vasudeva Parakriya.
Vasudeva Parakriya.
Vasudeva Paramgyanam.
Vasudeva Paramgyanam.
Vasudeva Paramtapa.
Vasudeva Paramtapa.
Vasudeva Parodharmo.
Vasudeva Parodharmo.
Vasudeva Paragati.
Sorry, ladies, but we only have so much time, so it's not a discrimination, it's just a practical. Actually, in America, I bought a nice sound system and beautiful microphones for Bhagavatam class, so I'd have to use this old 50-year-old microphone in Maximax. What happened? Vasudeva. The personality of Godhead. Para. The ultimate goal. Vedha. Revealed scriptures. Vasudeva. The personality of Godhead. Para. For worshiping. Maka. Sacrifices. Vasudeva. The personality of Godhead. Para. The means of attaining. Yoga. Mystic paraphernalia. Vasudeva. The personality of Godhead. Para. Under his control. Kriya. Fruit of activity. Vasudeva. The personality of Godhead. Param. The supreme. Jnanam. Knowledge. Vasudeva. The personality of Godhead. Param. The best. Tapa. Austerity. Vasudeva. The personality of Godhead. Para. Superior quality. Dharma. Religion. Vasudeva. Personality of Godhead. Para. Ultimate. Gati. A goal of life. Translation. In revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please him. Yoga is for realizing him. All fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by him only. He is supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know him. Religion, Dharma, is rendering loving service unto him. He is the supreme goal of life. Purport. That Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is the only object of worship is confirmed in these two shlokas. In the Vedic literature, there is the same objective, establishing one's relationship and ultimately reviving our lost loving service unto him. That is the sum and substance of the Veda. In the Bhagavad Gita, the same theory is confirmed by the Lord in his own words. The ultimate purpose of the Vedas is to know him only. All the revealed scriptures are prepared by the Lord through his incarnation in the body of Shrita Vyasadeva, just to remind the fallen souls
conditioned by material nature, of Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead.
No demigod can award freedom from material bondage. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. Impersonalists who have no information of the personality of Godhead minimize the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord and put him on equal footing with all other living beings. And for this act, such impersonalists get freedom from material bondage only with great difficulty. They can surrender to him only after many, many births in the culture of transcendental knowledge. This is actually a very, very long purport, so we'll just stop there, and we'll leave the rest of the nectar for the next speaker tomorrow. Yeah, I just complained about it. I bought a whole new sound system for Bhagavatam class, and I have to use this old thing. It's mainly the microphone. Om Agyan Chimadandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chaksurim Militam Jainatas Mai Sigurdavena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Sva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama. So, once again, we're in a very special chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Divinity and Divine Nature, with many key verses. And certainly this verse, Vasudeva Pada Veda, Vasudeva Pada Mukha, Vasudeva Pada Yoga, Vasudeva Pada Kriya. Actually, there's two verses here. These are one of the two of the fundamental verses of the great Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, in particular, these two verses are pregnant with so much knowledge, so much information in the science of Krishna consciousness. Each shloka, each line of the shloka, each word, each syllable could be spoken about for a very long time. As we've several times mentioned, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, during one series of lectures in Calcutta, he spoke for 3 months on the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadiyasya Yato Nivad Itaratas Charateshu Abhigina Swarat, etc. He just tore it apart. Not in a bad sense, but he just went into each and every word or syllable and drew out so many transcendental meanings from that verse. So this is our Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavata, the king of all scriptures. So here it is beginning, this shloka is beginning, Vasudeva Pada Veda, that the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Prabhupada, in his translation, he says, in the revealed scriptures, it is said that the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So, in the revealed scriptures, we have Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. On the basis of these three, we get our knowledge. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Prabhupada mentions in the Isha Upanishad, there's two processes for acquiring knowledge. There's the ascending process of knowledge, and there's the descending process of knowledge. Ascending means that we try to understand everything, which means we try to understand the world around us, we try to understand what is beyond this world, the transcendental realm, the spiritual world, with our limited mind and our imperfect senses. Any person with a little bit of intelligence can understand that this process is imperfect, because we're using imperfect means to understand that which is ultimately perfect. It's not logical. Our mind is
limited. We, as Prabhupada points out in the Upanishad, we make mistakes. You know, what's your name again? Where did I put my keys? Almost daily we find ourselves in this dilemma. We're working with an imperfect instrument, this mind. We make so many mistakes. And our senses are imperfect. They're very limited. We can understand with our senses, we can only perceive just the immediate surroundings. Prabhupada points out, you can't see what's happening in the next room. You can't hear, you can't taste, you can't touch. So with these imperfect instruments, we're trying to understand this world and the perfect spiritual world. It doesn't work. We've mentioned before, they have that. The Greeks are famous as philosophers, trying to understand how everything works. So some famous sculptor in Greek history, he sculpted the thinker. It's a famous sculpting, the thinker. And he's just sitting there thinking. But if you look at him, even today, thousands of years after Greek civilization, he's still there in the museum. He's still thinking, trying to figure it out. This is the ascending process. Trying to understand things with imperfect senses. The better process is the descending process. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidu. That is, knowledge of Krishna consciousness is coming down from the perfect, all-perfect personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. It is coming down through disciplic succession. And even saintly kings understood this knowledge in that way in former times. The knowledge is already there. It's called Veda. Veda, we talk about the Vedas, the three Vedas, this, the Vedas, that. But technically, Veda means knowledge. This knowledge of the material world, the knowledge of the spiritual world, is already there. It's there in the body of knowledge called the Vedas. It's coming from Krishna. When his words personified become Shastra, they're explained to us by self-realized sages. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. So in India, at least, there's differences of opinion sometimes. There's always debates to establish not so much the nature of this world. Any transcendentalist, whether he be a jnani or a yogi or a bhakti, these are the three types of transcendentalists. There's yogis who want mystic powers, there's jnanis who want knowledge, they ultimately want to merge into the Brahman, and there's bhaktis, those who are desiring to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're all convinced, they all agree at least on one thing, dukkhalaya mashashvatam, that this material world is a temporary place full of so many miseries. They agree on that. This is the illusory world. And there's the real world beyond it. So they agree on the nature of this. They'll come together and yes, dukkhalaya, imperfect world, so many problems, so much suffering, bodily concept of life. They'll all agree on that. But when you start getting into the nature of transcendence, there's maybe some disagreements, and maybe some argument, there may be some debate. But when you're debating in learned circles in India, you always have to refer back to this body of knowledge, the Veda. Otherwise, you can't sit in the circle and discuss. When all the transcendentalists get together and they try to establish what is supreme, and you're talking, you are allowed to talk if you can quote from Shastra, because no one's going to think that, oh, we're going to just accept your own conclusion. No. Already we've determined that our attempt to understand the absolute truth with our limited mind and our imperfect senses doesn't work. They're imperfect instruments. They fail. It's like going into an operation with a rusty scalpel. Like a doctor. No doctor in his right mind would go into an operation with an old, dirty, rusty scalpel. So no one attempts to understand the absolute truth with his rusty mind and these imperfect senses. It just doesn't work. So what is our reference? Our reference is that descending knowledge as it comes down from Krishna, so Guru Parampara explained by the self-realized. So when you're speaking in, Prabhupada says, learned circles, we're not referring to like scientists and philosophers in the West. We're speaking to those who have studied a body of knowledge called the Vedas, have a bona fide spiritual master, and engaged in hearing from him. So therefore, Prabhupada says, he says, in the revealed scriptures, he begins his the translation here. In the revealed scriptures, it is said. This doesn't say Prabhupada's glory is not that he thought this up. His glory is that he's the perfect representative. The bona fide spiritual master is the one who's repeating with vigyan, with realization, the knowledge of scriptures. There's gyan and there's vigyan. Gyan means the body of knowledge, and vigyan means that you've realized it. Anyone can read. But who has realized? Manushyanam sahasresu kaschidyadati siddhaye. Krishna says, out of millions and millions and millions of men, perhaps one is interested in the science of self-realization. And of those who are interested, hardly one understands me in truth. So those who are interested, they're studying this body of knowledge, Veda. But the vigyan, to realize the Supreme Personality of God, that is very rare. How do we get that? We can go back to another classic verse, Tad vidi paripatena pariprasana sevaya upadekshanti teginam ganinas tatvadash. You just try to learn this truth, not the relative truth. You try to learn this truth, the science of God, by approaching the Lord's representative. Tad vidi pariprasana sevaya. You make your inquiry, you study, you read. Shivaya, you serve. And this combination of inquiry and service, this brings vigyan. It brings realizations. Yasha Prasad, Bhagavad Prasad, Yasha Prasad, Nagati Gutopi. It's blessings, actually. You get the blessings. Aha. Now I understand. The combination of inquiry and menial service, the lotus feet of the Lord's representative and the Vaishnavas, Krishna's pleased. Aha, now I understand. So in the revealed scriptures, these things are stated. Vasudeva para vedha Vasudeva. We'll just start with one word. There's many words in this, two shlokas. Vasudeva. There's Vasudeva and there's Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Vasudeva is his father. Because Krishna had, you know from Krishna book, Devaki and Vasudeva. But there's a difference. The Vasudeva, the long A, Vasudeva, and there's Vasudeva. The difference. Vasudeva is very merciful. He allows his devotee, such as his father, Vasudeva, to become his father. This is the beauty of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, that although Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, he's the supreme father of all creation. In order to enjoy loving pastimes with his devotees, he becomes subordinate to the love of his devotee. He enjoys different relationships with different living entities. Just like you, you're a person, but you don't have the same relationship with everybody. Let's say you're in your 40s. So you have, you may be the boss of some big company. So people see you, Aishwarya, they see you as the master. But then outside the office, you play golf with your friends. So, you know, you're the same person, but you have a friendship relationship with others. They are your equals. Then you go home, and you're the daddy. You have your children, and then you have the wife, Madhurya Ras. The loving relationship, quote unquote, the loving relationship. So you're one person, but you have different relationships with different people, isn't it? You don't have the same relationship with everybody. It's not like Christianity, you know, where there's God and we're all God-fearing souls, and in heaven we're still shaking and yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir. No. God has different, just as you're a person who have different relationships, so God, he's the original person and he has different relationships. As you want to love him, he'll reciprocate with you. If you want the Aishwarya Bhav, the relationship of master and servant, if that's what you want, he's very happy, Krishna. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. You want to love me as a servant? Then I will be the best master for you. Yogikshemam Bahamyaham. Whatever you require, I will provide. Whatever you have, I will protect it. I will be the perfect master. And if you want to approach Krishna in a mood of friendship, you know, he won't play golf with you, but he will play with you. He'll play with you in the meadows and the groves and the forests of Braj. He'll wrestle with you, and he'll, you know, you can eat lunch together, and, you know, you can just think Krishna is the best friend I've ever had. He's just my friend all day long. You play and you support me. When I was a kid, I just, all day long, I hate to come home. Mother would call out, time for dinner. We're playing, you know. I want to stay out here and play with my friends. The boys don't want to go home. They want to stay out in the forest with the cows and Krishna. Equal. Equality means that sometimes Krishna loses. He allows himself to lose. He lets the boys think that they're winning. And Krishna has to carry them on his back because he lost. That was the rule. Like that. So you can be the friend. If you want that parental ras, then, you know, Krishna can appear as your son. Or if you want the Madhurya Ras, then you can, Krishna will allow you. Then you can become a gopi. So like that, Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada translates Vasudeva as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, technically, Vasudeva is an expansion of Krishna. Because there's another verse which clarifies Krishna's position more clearly. Ishwara Panama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Nadi Radya Govinda Sarvakarana Karnam. Krishna's name is mentioned. Itechamsa Kalopumsham Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And all the expansions that come from Krishna, such as Vasudeva or Narayan, they are subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Vasudeva. Prabhupada is using Vasudeva here in a general sense, that referring to God as the object of knowledge and the purpose of performing sacrifices to please him. But technically speaking, Vasudeva is an expansion. The original personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the goal of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he never leaves Vrindavan. He's always sporting in Vrindavan with his devotees. But when he goes outside of Vrindavan, he expands himself as Vasudeva. When he goes to Mathura, when he goes to Dwarka to perform his pastimes of killing Kamsa or establishing the city of Dwarka to give shelter to his devotees, that's the Lord's Vasudeva. The form of Krishna is considered more complete. Narayan has most of the qualities of Krishna, but not all of the qualities of Krishna. Krishna maintains four qualities different from Vasudeva. For example, he plays his flute. Vasudeva doesn't have a flute. Krishna is always surrounded by his loving devotees in the mood of Madhurya Ras. Not the case with Vasudeva. Actually, even Vasudeva is a worshipper of Krishna. Everyone and everything is attracted to the original form of the personality of Godhead. Even Krishna's expansions, they're attracted to Krishna. Although they're Krishna, just like you have certain aspects of your personality probably that you like better than other aspects of your personality. Right? There's certain things you're really, really good at, or you're really, we have devotees here in charge of different departments because they're excellent at certain activities. So you have certain fortes. So even the expansions of Krishna, they're also one, Krishna's darshan. This is how attractive Krishna means, the all-attractive personality of Godhead. All living entities, when they're fully enlightened, they're attracted to the original personality, Krishna. So even Vasudeva, he's attracted to Krishna. Where is there evidence of that? Well, there's evidence of that in the discussions between Lord Chaitanya and Venkat Bhatta. I think Prabodhananda Saraswati and Gopal Bhatta, they must have also been there, because when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to South India, he visited Sri Rangam, a holy place, and And there he stayed in the house. He stayed there for 4 months because it was the rainy season. So he stayed in the house of Venkat Bhatta, who was the head priest of the Rangam temple. And the chief pandit was Prabodhananda Saraswati. And Venkat Bhatta's son was Gopal Bhatta, who later became the famous Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So they all lived in the same house. And Mahaprabhu, as a mendicant sannyasi and a famous personality by that time, he was invited to stay there during that rainy season. So as a result, there were some discussions because Venkat Bhatta was a Sri Vaishnava, Prabodhananda Saraswati was Sri Vaishnava, and the son was just a little boy, Gopal Bhatta. He wasn't anything yet. He was just listening to the talks that went on. So what was the nature of the discussion? So the discussion was, Mahaprabhu said that, you know, you're Sri Vaishnava, you're followers of Ramanujacharya, and you're worshipping the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, Vasudeva. But do you know that beyond Vaikuntha, there's Goloka? Vaikuntha is the spiritual realm beyond this material world, but there's different divisions even in Vaikuntha. Different types of, there's, you know, Dwarka, Mathura, but beyond that, within the realm of Vaikuntha, the topmost planet in the Vaikuntha realm is called Goloka. Goloka, it means a place where there's cows. Lots of cows and pasturing fields. There's simple village life, not like this opulent life here in Vaikuntha. There's a planet. And there is the original personality of Godhead in a two-armed form who enjoys very intimate, loving pastimes with his devotees. Unlike here, or in your idea of the spiritual world, where the Lord is simply worshipped as the Master. What? What? The Sri Vaishnavas would say, what is this? That, you know, there's a topmost planet, and there's so many planets in Vaikuntha, and all of them, the God is living in all of them, and loving is the devotees. You say there's a supreme planet beyond all the others, where Narayan relates in a very intimate way with his servants? What? So there was discussion, there was debate. Again, the debate went on. Venkat Bhatta and Prabodhananda Saraswati, they were fiercely debating. What is this new concept that there's some topmost planet where Narayan has two arms and he's equal, equally dealing with his devotees? Sometimes devotees are beating Krishna. Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. He's subordinate to the love of who? Radharani? Where is Radharani mentioned in the Shastras as a favorite, a lover? Lakshmi is the lover of Narayan. Who is this Radha? Who is Radha? And then, so discussion was going on like this. So Mahaprabhu, he wanted to establish the superiority of Krishna consciousness, the worship of Krishna, over the worship of Vasudev or Narayan. What is this Radha? We'll talk about Radha later. We'll talk about Krishna now. So how is it that Krishna is superior to Vasudeva Narayan? If you go to South India, it's all that Aishwarya above, the Narayan temples, like Nisringa temples, and in Sri Rangam, the Lord is lying down with four arms, and Lakshmi is massaging his feet. So what is this? So Mahaprabhu was quoting from Shastra. Krishna shtu Bhagavan, let's say Vasudeva, Krishna shtu Bhagavan Swayam. That all the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. But this Krishna, he is the original personality of Godhead. And all of these forms of God are coming from Krishna into the material world whenever there's a disturbance created by the enemies of Indra. Ah, yes. And you know also we have our Brahma-samhita. Ishvara, Panama, Krishna. So debate was going on. But sometimes just philosophical references aren't enough because devotees fall asleep. Too much philosophy Thursday morning after the festival. So sometimes to have a good class, you have to put a story in there. So Mahaprabhu, who is the original preacher, Adi Guru, he's the source of all, he told a story to demonstrate how even Vasudeva is subordinate to Krishna, how Vasudeva is attracted to Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. And the story that he tells, which is related in the, Kaviraj Goswami relates it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the discussion they have between Venkat Bhatta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that one time in Dwarka, there was a Brahmana. And he was a householder. So as a householder, he wanted to have children. So his wife became pregnant, and they were all waiting for the birth of that first child. And the child took birth, and he died. And they were very upset. What is this? Our son has died? And he immediately went to Ugrasena, who is the king of Dwarka. And he said to Ugrasena, what is this? My child has died an untimely death. Because, of course, death is there. Everyone has to die. But this is, and it was understood that in Vedic culture, if the king was properly ruling, there wouldn't be untimely death. There wouldn't be. Because the king, if he's performing the sacrifices, everything becomes purified. All the karma, individual karma, all the collective karma, it's all destroyed because the king is Rajarishi. He's taking such responsibility for his subjects, providing for them materially and helping them to make advancement on the path of spiritual life. So if the king was really pukka, if he was doing everything correctly, then there would be no inauspiciousness. One would go through one's natural course of life, maybe some small disturbances. One would be able to reach old age without any obstacles. And by the time one, because one was performing all the Vedic rituals, doing everything properly, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, all the brahmins, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, who were doing their duties properly, people were making advancements. So by the time you reached old age, and then you died, back home, back to Godhead. So the king was responsible. And if something inauspicious happened, immediately it was attributed to the fact that the king was not ruling properly. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning I sent forth generations of men and demigods and blessed them that by the performance of this yajna, all desirable things were bestowed upon you. Everything, material and spiritual prosperity will reign. So if people weren't getting the proper provisions, if there was calamity, if there was, you know, untimely death, disease, whatever, so what are you doing? What, you are the king? It's like if in the household, you know, things are not going, then the children will say to their parents, Pita, I'm not getting enough to eat, you know, I'm not getting enough medicine, you're my father. My son used to say like that, you're the Pita, you're supposed to provide all this. You know, where's my truck, where's my toys? Oh, Shakti says, you're a father. So the king, he was, so there, when this Brahmana's child died, he immediately went to Igrisa. So what are you doing? I'm doing everything correctly. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Well, something's wrong. No, it's not. We just had one big Rajasuya sacrifice. Everything, so I don't know. I cannot explain it. This is some mystery which is beyond me. How your son has died. There's no reason that he should have died an untimely death. But he did. I'm sorry, I cannot answer this question. Some things can only be understood in due course of time. So then they conceived another child. And then that child also died. They had another child, he also died. Another child, he also died, 4, 5, 6. Then he had one civil disobedience. He went on the steps of the palace and he was complaining, you know, this Ugrasena, exactly, this Ugrasena is not qualified to sit on the throne because 6 or 7 of my children have died. What is this? Then he went to see Krishna and Balaram. Krishna, what is this? I don't know, this must be some higher purpose. Balaram, what is happening? None of you are Kshatriyas, you are not Kattriya. Kattriya means to protect from hurt. Kattraya means to hurt, Traya means to protect. So a Kattraya, a Kshatriya, is one who protects. None of you are bona fide Kshatriyas, making a big disturbance. So Arjuna happened to come along. What is this? What are you saying? You know, all these Kattriyas are, I'm going to call Parashurama here with his chopper. He was losing control of this Brahmana because, you know, all his children were dying, and he was holding the king responsible. So Arjuna, being a Kshatriya, being naturally very compassionate, because Kshatriyas are well situated, they have knowledge. Again, evam parampara praptam. They know spiritual matters through Guru Parampara. The Kshatriyas are intelligent persons, and they rule with a council of Brahmins. They hear from sages. They have knowledge. And they're well off materially. Kshatriya has, like the Pandavas, they were bereft of even an amount of one village or amount of land that could even be placed on a pin, so they were very disturbed, because Kshatriyas need land in order to rule. So therefore the Kurus wouldn't even give them that, so therefore there was a war, because Kshatriyas have to have land. So they're well situated. They have spiritual knowledge, they have material prosperity. So one who is well situated, he should naturally give shelter to others. Those who are not like these Duskutinas, who, Naradhama Duskutinas, they have so much wealth, but they're greedy. They don't want to share. People were so much complaining about Bill Gates some years ago. He has so much money, what's he doing? So he decided to appease the people that he would give a certain percentage of his fortune away every year, just to appease the people. But this is actually Vedic. This is charity. You have to give in charity. They become greedy. So I received a donation in America from a person well placed in the Microsoft Corporation in Seattle, Washington. He gave me a very nice donation. And when he gave me, I'm not going to tell you, but he gave me this very nice donation. He said, I said, wow. He said, don't worry about it. He said, I'm going to double it. What, you're going to double that? He said, yes, I work for Microsoft Corporation. And Microsoft Corporation, whatever their employees give to a bona fide charity organization, they'll match it. I said, wow, who's in charge of Microsoft? He said, oh, Mr. Bill Gates. He started this program some years ago. That whenever his employee gives to a bona fide charity, his corporation will match it. If you give $100 to a charity, the company will give $100 to the same charity. If they give you give $1,000, the company will give $1,000. If you give $10,000, the company will also give $10,000. So I had a nice big fat check. Big fat check. Yum, yum, yum. I love that. He said, I'm going to match it. So right now, Microsoft is investigating or looking into Viva Culture to see if it's a charity organization. I said, yes, we according to Rupa Goswami, this is the best welfare, this is spiritual welfare. But they'll give to religious organizations as long as the religious organizations just don't become greedy and take that money to buy BMWs and things like that, but they actually give it. So I said, we're doing book distribution, we're giving food, and so there's a 90% chance that donation will be matched. So like this, the king, if you're in a good situation, then you should give in charity. So here's a Kshatriya, Arjuna, he's coming along, he's seeing a Brahmana in distress. My children are dying, what is the reason? So he said, I will help you. I will protect your children. So number eight, the child, Arjuna, he went to the house of the Brahmana, he covered the whole house with arrows. Looked like a porcupine, arrows there, to protect from any inauspicious elements, because there are inauspicious elements floating in the sky, and they may come in. So, just like Shanti told me yesterday, that there are some inauspicious elements in this area. There's some Buddhas. And I said, there's no Buddhas here. Come on, devotees are just dreaming. No, devotees are getting attacked by Buddhas. I said, really? He said, yeah, some devotees are going to attack. I said, nah, they wouldn't come in my room, because I have my Nisringa Shilas. But last night, they came. I think the leader came, because I challenged him. Ah, Buddhas, ha! Ah. So the leader came last night. I was going to sleep. We had a big battle. About 10 or 15 minutes. The door, I heard the door open, I heard little feet, I thought it was Prahlad. I said, Prahlad? And around the corner, it wasn't Prahlad. And we had a big fight. And I won. Ha ha, Buddha. Beat you. But he didn't like losing. Maybe he was a Kshatriya, a Rakshasa last life or something, you know. Maybe there's some battles fought around this place. I don't know. He came back two times. when I was ready for him, because I heard the door open. Then it was, I think, Jayatam, but it wasn't really Jayatam, and then it was somebody else, Shanti. He made the voice like that. And then, but I knew he was coming, so I went, Jayatam! Did I wake anybody up? And then he figured he better get out of there, right? So, if you're having any troubles with these inauspicious fellows around here, just chant, Shina Shinga Jaina Shinga Jaya Jaina Shinga Jay Pada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma. Because I had the leader, I think. You know, you just get the little guys, you know. Don't worry, Shanti, they'll go away. Maybe we just have a big kirtan all throughout the building. Anybody have this problem here? Raise your hands. Or is it just me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, don't be shy, 7, 8, just be ready. As Paul said, when you talk about him, they come. Shina Shinga Jaya Shinga Jaya Jaya Shinga Day Pala Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Viva! So Arjuna, understanding the principle that there's lots of, he built this hut and then the arrows were there. But as she gave birth, the wife of the Brahmana, the baby died. So Arjuna said, now I have not been able to do my duty, I will forfeit my life. Do you see the sense of duty or dharma in Vedic culture? Sense of dharma. They were so serious about dharma that, in, at least in this sense, a kshatriya, if he couldn't do his dharma of protecting, he was ready to afford to give up his life. We don't do our duty, so what, next time, maybe, who cares anyway. But the sense of dharma is so much instilled in Vedic culture, ultimately the duty to God. But just in ordinary dealings, the duty to, you know, family and duty to society, Krishna conscious society, is so strong. Now people have lost all sense of duty. To speak of duty, dharma to God, throw it out the window. But Arjuna, he was ready to forfeit his life, so he built a funeral pyre outside of Dwarka on the sand there. And he was just about to jump on that funeral pyre, give up his life, because he couldn't do his Kshatriya duty. He couldn't protect even a Brahmana wife and their child. What kind of Kshatriya is that? So he was, and suddenly Krishna appeared. No, he said, don't, this is happening. You travel throughout Dwarka, throughout Bharat, throughout the universe. He said, there's one place I know that we can go, you and me together. Imagine having a friend like Krishna. You and me, there's one place you haven't gone. We'll go there and we'll see if maybe that place is causing the source of this system, why all these children are dying. So they got on Krishna's chariot. They went to the covering of the universe. And the universe is covered by earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and ego. And each of those coverings is 10 times greater than the previous. And the first covering, Earth, is 10 times greater than the space, which we call the universe. So let's say this is the space of the universe, wherein the planets are floating, right? They're floating, and Earth is somewhere in the middle, right? So the first covering of that space is 10 times as big. That's Earth. And then the next covering is air. It's 10 times bigger than that. And then fire is 10 times bigger than that. Earth, air, fire. Water is 10 times... Mind, intelligence. So you can imagine the covering of one universe. It's like there's this one little tiny space of space here, right? And you've got this huge contraption covering it. Daiviyesha gunamai mama maya dhuratyaya. It's very difficult to get freed from this material energy. Liberation entails, you know, going through that cover. A Krishna with his chariot, and his devotee in his chariot. Krishna says, for my devotee, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Right through the coverings. And where did they go? Beyond the coverings of the universe, transcendental realm, they came to the abode of Mahavishnu, Vasudeva, Narayan. And there, although we sometimes conceive of Mahavishnu lying down or floating in space or lying down in the Garbhodak Ocean, he has his abode, Mahavishnu. They came to the abode of Mahavishnu, and it was a beautiful palace. And this chariot came to a stop, and Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, and Arjuna, they got out and they walked to the inner sanctum of the palace to take darshan of Mahavishnu. And when they saw Mahavishnu, Krishna paid obeisances to Mahavishnu. Now, this is a point of contention amongst those who are debating the nature of the absolute truth. Of course, we're not talking about yogis or Mayavadis. We're talking about different Vaishnavas. Vaishnava means anyone who accepts that God is the ultimate goal, that God is a person. Probably even Christians, we can classify them as Vaishnavas because they accept a personality of Godhead. But here's a point of contention, that Krishna paid obeisances to Vasudeva. So therefore, Vasudeva is supreme, superior to Krishna. Venkatbhata. So, you see, Krishna is... So therefore, Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. He's the eighth incarnation of Vishnu. What is our answer? Our answer is that Krishna, when he comes to this earth, he plays the part of an ordinary being. Sometimes he disguises him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shangopangashaparshanam Yagnai Sankatan. But he's playing the role of a devotee to teach us how to become devotees ourselves. So when Krishna comes, sometimes he plays the part of a dwarka. He's a henpecked husband. Do we have any henpecked husbands here? Are you henpecked? No. Okay. You would never admit it anyway in front of all this. And your wife's a translator, so she wouldn't. But Krishna sometimes plays the role. He plays the role of an ordinary human being to show us how to act as proper brahmachari, Vamanadeva, Grihastha, Krishna, Mahaprabhu is has Grihastha, Parampastha, Sannyas, Mahaprabhu took Sannyas. So he shows us how to act in those roles. So he sometimes appears. But those who have knowledge, they understand. This is the teacher sometimes takes the pen and writes A, B, C. Not learning the alphabet. He's demonstrating for you. So Krishna's demonstrating. So when Krishna paid obeisances to Mahavishnu, he did it in that sense that he was acting like an ordinary here, teaching us how to be subordinate between Vasudeva, before Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead. We should always be subordinate to the Lord in all circumstances. So they paid obeisance. And they walked to have the darshan of Mahavishnu. And what did they see? Eight little boys playing. What? And Arjuna said, those are the sons of that brahmana. And Mahavishnu was smiling. He said, yes, I have arranged this just because I am seeing so much loving sentiments between you, Krishna, and Arjuna, your devotee. I'm seeing so much loving. He said, I wanted to have darshan of you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is in the Krishna book, it's described, Prabhupada, and goes on for a whole paragraph. That Mahavishnu arranged the whole pastime of the brahmanas. Of course, there's a whole other pastime of why those boys, you know, were delivered. They took birth, but better than birth is living eternally with the Lord. So the Lord arranged that they would just momentarily take their birth in this world and then ascend to his transcendental abode. Just like Prabhupada said, when one of my god sisters in L.A., she gave birth and the baby died after a few hours. She was so upset because, you know, for a mother, carrying that baby for 9 months and, you know, then, you know, it dies. And it was unexplained death. It just died. It was healthy, but it died. So Prabhupada, when she wrote Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, yes, he said that he was a Vaishnava. He just needed just a little touch of association with this material world again to be convinced, to give up all doubt and come back home, back to Godhead. So don't lament. You did your duty. What would have normally taken you, you know, like 25, 30 years to train that child, you know, as a mother, your responsibility as a mother is to train the child, and it's a big service. It's not something that bears immediate results. Not like you cook an offering and then you offer it and you get to enjoy it immediately. When you have children, you go through so much and then you get the result, you know, when they take initiation, for example, when they're 18 or 19 and you know, I did it. They're Vaishnavas, you know. But Prabhupada said, don't think of it like that. Think of it as that you did your duty as a mother. That boy just had to have a few moments of association, you know, even if he died in the womb, Prabhupada said. You did your duty as a mother. Your duty is to deliver that child. You delivered that child. So Krishna arranged that those Brahmana boys the sons, they had another part of the path, and then they ascended with Mahavishnu. But the real reason that Krishna did that, Mahavishnu did that, because he wanted darshan of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, he used this pastime to impress upon Venkat Bhatta and Prabhupada Saraswati the superiority of worshipping Krishna over his expansions as they exist in the realm of Vaikuntha. And it worked, because Venkat Bhatta became a Gaudiya and thanked the Lord that so did Prabodhananda Saraswati. It was Tunga Vidya, actually, in the spiritual world. It's a Saki. Tunga Vidya. So Prabodhananda Saraswati, he just said, I'm convinced, with this and other debates, it didn't take much, of course, they're the Lord's devotees in the spiritual world. Well, they came with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as Krishna came with all his associates, he came with them again. The same Braja Gopis, the same cowherd boys, the same parents, everybody, they all came down to the world of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they took birth in different families. So Tunga Vidya, she took birth as Prabodhananda Saraswati. So it didn't take much to convince her. It was all a pastime, actually, to convince us of the superiority of worshipping Krishna over any of his expansions. And Prabodhananda Saraswati, he left and he went to Braj, and he stayed in Braj. He has a couple of places, Surabhikund, beautiful Surabhikund outside, not outside, but in far from the village of Vrindavan. And he sometimes stayed there. He sometimes stayed down by Kaliyagat, where Krishna chastised the Kaliya serpent. And he wrote Chaitanya Chandamrita. He wrote a beautiful verses glorifying the holy Dham of Navadvip and Radharasa Sudanidhi. Radharasa Sudanidhi, such a beautiful book about the glories of Srimati Radharani, like this. So anyway, we are supposed to finish at 10 o'clock. So we've just taken one word today. Vasa, we didn't even do the Pada Veda. Pada means the ultimate goal, the ultimate Veda means knowledge, but we'll leave that for Sri Pula tomorrow. We just had a little discussion downstairs that we are just drooling over this particular verse today. It's actually two verses, 28 and 29. So we made a deal that we would do one word at a time. Please take one word at a time. So I have done my word, as imperfect as it was, lack of knowledge and realization, but we have done the Vasudeva. It could actually go on, but this is a day which we want to use for rest and recuperation. Maybe we'll have a Maha Yajna in Kirtan throughout the building, throw around some Ganga Jal, and we have a few meetings planned, etc. So, Gantara Shimad Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Vrindavan Krishna Ki, But I have one more thing I'd like to say. Like one of those kirtans, right? Jai Om Vishnu Hari Om. Just 5 minutes. What I like, because this is one of the only times we actually have all the devotees assembled together. And I have just one little personal thing I'd like to just mention to the devotees, and then we'll open the deities. And that is that when we're on Harinam Sankirtan, I'd like the devotees, how many of you are going on the Harinams at least once or twice a week? Raise your hands. Harinam. Okay. When we're on Harinam Sankirtan, I've noticed that this year it's especially blissful. And Prabhupada told Vishnu Janaswami one time, Vishnu Janaswami said, what should we do when we're on Harinam Sankirtan? You know, should we, you know, be very conscious? Should we control ourselves and be very conscious that we're being observed by the Jewish people? Or can we just chant and dance? Probably just chant and dance. Just be oblivious to what the karmis are thinking. And just enjoy the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So that's happening here. We're having very nice Harinams, Sri Prahlad and Tribi, Chaitanya Prabhu. We're having nice kirtans. But I'm noticing that we are a little too oblivious to what's happening. And it can be a dangerous situation on the street. We've almost had a few near accidents on the streets. And you may remember last year, is Rasika Rana here? Where is she? Rasika Rana got hit by a car last year on the street because she was just, you know, running across the street to give an invitation to somebody. And who's that young girl who's always smiling? What's her name? Radha Madhav. Is she here? Radha Madhav. She's always blissful. Miss Radha. She's Miss Bliss. Now we have Miss Bliss became Mrs. Bliss. Ananda Vrindavan Champu was Miss Bliss, but now she, as you know, she's become Mrs. Bliss. So this is, she's a new Miss Bliss. She's always smiling, but I noticed the other day that you were just running across the streets and jump, you know, going to the cars, and you almost got hit a couple of times, though you didn't see it. Maybe you did see it. Almost got hit by a car. So I just like the devotees to be aware that we're right out there in the city center. There's a lot of material energy going around. A lot of material energy is moving. People are moving. You know, businesses are going on. People are going to work, back from work. Cars are moving. And, you know, you're not aware of what's actually happening. So just be conscious. I'm going to have a monitor who monitors the Harinam. Like, for example, lots of kids follow us. It's very dangerous. The kids are running along in the street. The cars are coming whizzing by. Sometimes they're braking very suddenly. Devotees are giving invitations to kids to distribute. And kids are running across the street, going here and there, not conscious of what's happening. It's an extremely dangerous situation. And only by Lord Nrisingadeva's mercy has nothing happened yet. But should a devotee be seriously injured, or a pedestrian, because of we're blocking the street and the pedestrian has to go into the street, or because a kid is distributing invitations, they get hit by a car, you know, I don't know what would happen to our festival tour. They might even take advantage of that to stop us because we're not acting properly, observing, or they would use it as a precedent for the next town. We don't want your Harinam party here because see what's happened. So just a few pointers. Those who are leading the Harinam, which means technically the ladies, because you're in front, and that's why I wanted Rasikarani to be here. The ladies are in front. You're just like going right across the crosswalk without even looking. You know, it's like you're thinking about what move, and you're talking with each other, and you know, adjusting your headdress and smiling and waving. You know, when you go across the street, you have to look three times. One, two, and because a car may have come since you're looking this way, you have to look again, and then you start to cross the street. But even when you're crossing the street, you still have to be looking, because you may be right, but the driver may be thinking, I don't want to wait for this long line of people to cross the sidewalk. I'm going to try to get through real fast. And it's happened to us. The guy's coming. He sees, you know, 60 devotees. He doesn't want to sit there in front of the crosswalk. You know, he's waiting for dinner. He just speeds through. So as you're going across, the ladies in front, to look very carefully. And sometimes they're not even big street, but there's alleyways which cars come out of. There's like driveways. There's not even a crosswalk. It's just like in those towns, people park their cars inside the town, inside a little place. You have to be so careful. So, and when we get on those little tiny crosswalks that are about this big, those pathways that are this big, everyone has to be conscious that we're chanting down those little pathways and we're making the karmis go into the street. So you have to really bunch up, packed up tight, like this, against the wall, so the people can come and walk by. And if there's any children, you just, everybody do like this. If there's any children, you just pray and you just be very conscious. If you see a kid, you pull them back in. I had Shravaniya, one of the kirtans, there were so many kids. I had her going around asking the kids to get off the street. She said to me, Gurudev, they don't listen to me. But we have to make the best attempt we have. So we're going to assign a monitor to every Harinam party. And this monitor is going to be very conscious of the overall scene, especially he'll remind the girls when they're crossing the street, be conscious of sensitive places where cars may come out very quickly, where, you know, we're forcing people off the sidewalk. And when children come, that monitor will accompany the kirtan party and tell the kids to get on the sidewalk, etc., etc. But actually, it's not just one person. Everyone has to be very aware of what's happening. When you're going down the streets, I mean, I'm thinking of it constantly. I'm always looking out, like, you know, a mother duck for all the little ducklings who are quack, 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 quack. You know, there's a big cat over here, and there's a fox over here, right? And the mother duck, she's like looking around. I'm like sweating the whole time, you know. And everybody's, honey boy, honey boy, guy, waving, you know. And, the car, you don't even hear the car stop. Honey boy, come to the festival. You know, but if everyone's conscious of what we're out on the street, it's a dangerous place. A lot of cars, a lot of things happening. So just in the midst of your bliss, control your bliss a little bit and be aware of all that material energy moving around and act accordingly, okay? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, man's glory lies in his common sense. So just use more common sense. Be in bliss, but be in controlled bliss. Controlled ecstasy when we're out on the street, because we're going out tomorrow. It's a small town, but again, it's a small sidewalk, so be careful. And we'll take shelter of Lord Nisringadeva. Okay. Prashadam. Shri Shri Bhagavad Prasadam Ki Gaura Premanandi.